Hello, and welcome to Ella Fates in the Room, Ella Fates Weekly Podcast. I am Derek Caraview, your host, and this week I will be interviewing Tim Solo, who is the head of marketing and product strategy at Ahrefs, one of the industry's leading SEO tools. He has 7 years of experience in SEO and digital marketing, and Tim eagerly shares his knowledge by publishing data-driven research studies and detailed SEO guides at their blog. He also runs a successful YouTube channel, which recently surpassed 1 million views. He's Ukrainian and is currently living in Singapore. So stick around and you'll find out which superpower he would choose, how he feels about two small shoes, and which psychological experiment he prefers. So sit back, relax, grab yourself something to drink, and enjoy the show. Before we get into the fun stuff, why don't you explain to our audience who you are and what you do?
My name is Tim Solo, and I'm head of marketing and product strategy at Ahrefs. And to say what I do, it's pretty hard because our company is quite small, less than 40 people. So in our case, I'm not limited to marketing and suggesting various features. I try to do everything I can to help the company grow. Sometimes this means that doing some support and talking to our customers. Sometimes it means to hire some people that we need. Sometimes it means like business development and some partnerships. So whatever will help our company grow, I will try to do that. But most of my background is in marketing, content marketing specifically, blogging and SEO. I was doing SEO for like 8 years, so I think this is the biggest chunk of my work goes there.
All right, great. We'll talk a little bit more about those things in just a moment, but to get started, we're going to ask a couple of other types of questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, our first question for today is pizza an open calzone, or is a calzone a folded pizza?
Open calzone, is it that's a great question. Well, I actually love pizza a lot, but somehow I don't eat calzone that much. So I'd go that calzone is not pizza and open calzone is pizza.
Okay, so you think a calzone is a folded pizza?
No, I don't think so. Okay. But I think if you open calzone, it will be a pizza.
All right. What was your first job?
Oh, my first job was a technical support specialist in a hosting company. So I got to talk to a ton of people who are basically new to internet, new to web hosting. And this was pretty fun. So one of the phrases that I asked our guys in technical support in support of Ahrefs to start using is there anything else you would like to help me with today? So yeah, I wrote this phrase. I was supporting people via chat, and I wrote this phrase like 15, 20, 30 times daily. So when I came to Ahrefs and they saw that our support people weren't trained to this simple phrase, I created a rule that we should start using it. But actually, I don't think that it's a strict rule, so they kind of use it on and off today.
Okay. And so what was the most common problem you were dealing with at that time?
Most common problem is also pretty fun. So people usually struggle to configure email. This was the time of email clients called Microsoft Outlook and Outlook Express. If you were using internet at the time, you know that those are two different softwares installed on your computer. And whenever a customer comes to chat and asks a question like, I'm having problem receiving my email or connecting to my inbox or blah, blah, blah. And the first question you ask them is to understand what kind of email client they use. So you ask them, are you using Microsoft Outlook or Outlook Express? And the answer in like 70% of cases was, Outlook, which kind of fit both, and you still have to ask, so is it Microsoft Outlook or Outlook Express? This was very fun every time.
Yeah, that's good times, I'm sure there. Do you think koalas ever just get sick of the taste of eucalyptus?
No, I think they enjoy it, yeah. Yeah, they're so like happy looking and so relaxed. I think I should probably eat some eucalyptus myself.
Do you think they ever get a sore throat?
I don't know. I don't think I tried like raw eucalyptus myself. Okay. So I cannot help you with that.
What was your favorite band 10 years ago?
I'd say it's actually Michael Jackson. I don't think it's a band, but still it kind of fits the question.
Sure.
So yeah, I am a big fan of Michael Jackson. I think he's very unique, and he pretty much redefined the entertainment industry, how to shoot like awesome music videos, how to make awesome kind of dance moves and all that stuff. Yeah, so and I think he influenced a lot of people.
Sure.
So I'd say that he's kind of my favorite. But all in all, because I actually, my second job was DJ at the nightclub. I'm kind of a fan of music and a fan of electronic music in particular. And my taste is quite broad. So I kind of can listen to anything from like heavy metal and to Justin Bieber songs. As long as it's kind of quality, the quality of production, the quality of music, I kind of like this stuff. But mostly mainstream, so not some niche music, but mostly mainstream music, popular music.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you were a DJ 10 years ago, what was your guaranteed floor filler?
Guaranteed floor filler. Actually, you know, it changes kind of every year. So every year, the music industry works the way that they would produce another kind of hit song, and everyone would start playing this hit song. So it kind of becomes the floor filler.
Sure.
So every year it was new, and to recall something in particular. There were guys, Swedish House Mafia, Axwell, Sebastian Ingrosso, and someone else, and they consistently produced some kind of hit every year. Mm-hmm. So whenever you play that hit, people were super happy and danced a lot. I think I can remember one. Let me think about it. I mean, the name of the song is Let Me Think About It. Yeah, but I don't remember the author of the name. Okay, let's keep it. Just Let Me Think About It. I'm sure if people will put it to YouTube and type some keyword like music or song, they will know what I'm talking about. It was big, and I think it lasted for like maybe 2 years. So it was like pretty big hit at the time.
Okay. Was there ever a song that you had to play because people wanted to hear it, but that you just personally hated?
As a DJ, you always face those situations when people come up to you and tell you to play a song. And sometimes they are drunk and they don't really pick phrases. They just tell you that you're playing shit. And if you don't play the song, they're like, their night is ruined. But yeah, I cannot really remember any particular song that people would like me to play, but usually this was kind of one of these super popular songs. And when ourselves DJs think that this song is going kind of out of date, that it is no longer popular and no longer worth playing, but some people are still living in the past, and so they get drunk and they come up to you and they want that song. So this is how it usually happens.
Sure. Okay. If you could have a superpower, which one would it be?
Oh, this is something I think once in a while about, actually. I think stopping time is a pretty interesting one. But I also like flying, actually, if you're talking about kind of simple superpowers.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably flying. I like flying and like flying fast so that I could like fly to pyramids of Giza in like 5 minutes. That would be cool.
Sure. That's a,
yeah, flying.
That's a classic. But now to go back to the one about stopping time.
Okay.
What would you do if you could stop time? What would you do with that power?
Well, I won't surprise you if I say like rob a bank. Mm-hmm. Or something like this. So this is pretty much the first thing that enters my mind. But other than that, I will just go and impress people with different stuff about stopping time. So if you were to ask me next question about quantum physics, I would just stop time, go look in the internet the answer, and just impress you with like super detailed question, super detailed answer about quantum physics. So.
Yeah.
Kind of, and in every kind of situation, I would just use my ability to stop time to impress people.
That would be pretty cool. I think I would use it just to sleep, though. I think I'd stop time, I'd take a nap, start time back up. I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, somehow I didn't think about it. That's nice.
What is a weird fact that you know?
Well, let's say, let's go back to quantum physics. to me, it is weird that experiment where they were shooting electrons through holes. Mm-hmm. And then when you watch these electrons, they act like particles, and when you don't watch them, they act like wave. So this stuff that physics still cannot explain is really, really weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have it as an answer.
All right, I like it. How far east can you go before you're heading west?
Great question. I don't have an answer.
All right.
I'm just thinking. Okay, let's skip it. I cannot think of anything. How I could solve this.
All right. So if you could stop time to figure out the answer, but you don't have the power. So all right.
You would be totally impressed. I'm telling you. So right now you're actually verifying that I don't have the stopping time superpower.
Okay, well that's good.
Or I'm hiding this from you, and I actually do have, but acting like I'm not.
I see. All right. Well, I'm sure our listeners will can maybe weigh in on that, see which one it is. So if you weren't doing what you do, what would you be doing?
Mm-hmm. I'd probably be DJ. Because like this is one of the best jobs in the world, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It is easy, it is fun.
Sure.
So yeah, and you basically when I was a DJ, I was thinking to myself that I have party every weekend. It's like having some kind of celebration every weekend, and sometimes when it's party for some kind of public holiday or anything like that, the party gets like 10 times bigger because you have 10 times more people. Mm-hmm. 10 times more energy, and like this is super fun. And actually, speaking of the energy, the energy exchange, I actually felt that it's real. So I kind of envy a little bit those people who can who perform and who can fill the stadiums, and they can kind of communicate while performing to like 10,000 people, 50,000 people. It must be really amazing. I would love to feel that, but I don't think I will have a chance in my life.
Well, at least you got to enjoy a bit of that earlier on, so it can be a lot.
Yeah, a tiny bit.
Okay, but you are doing what you do and doing some research into your background. I see that your specialty really seems to be in blogging, or at least part of your specialty there. And how did you get started in that field? How did you get started with blogging?
Well, it's easy. I know English, and you can tell that I'm not like a super fluent speaker. I have to pick words, so I had to write. And writing works better for me because I can go back or read what I just wrote and kind of identify if it sounds well or if I can pick better words. So I started writing, I think there's also advice in some book that I recently read. I don't remember the name of that book. But it said that you should hire, if you want to hire good people to your company, you should hire people who can write well. So even in the emails, if you communicate to a person and they can communicate what you're asking them well, this means they kind of smart, organized, and able to deliver their thoughts in kind of clear way. So yeah, because I couldn't create my own podcast, my own videos, and content marketing was kind of on the rise. I knew a lot of people online who were creating blogs and who were getting tons of traffic from Google. So I started writing myself, and I started digging into the topics of SEO, and it worked for me because I do think I kind of have a little bit of talent, not to be arrogant. I'm just saying a little bit of talent in explaining things in a simple way. But I think what helps me there is that my English is it's far from perfect. This is why I can explain things in really, really simple language, in simple sentences, in simple concepts. I think this is how I got into blogging.
Okay, yeah, that's a fantastic talent to have. I mean, it's one thing to no, that's true. It's one thing to understand what you're talking about, and it's another thing to be able to help other people understand
what
you're talking about.
Exactly.
So you can feel free to brag about that all you want, because that's not easy to do, and not a lot of people can do that. So that's nice. What are some other challenges to effective blogging? Now, I know you teach some classes on that, so I don't want to take away too much from what it is that you do there. But what's something maybe you could tell our listeners here about that?
To be honest, there's no challenge in blogging apart from having something unique and something valuable to say. So in terms of creating kind of SEO-optimized blog that would get you traffic from Google, it's all about knowing what people search for, because a lot of people, and you mentioned that I have a blogging course for Ahrefs, and in that blogging course, I focus a lot on teaching people that they should write about topics that people are actually searching for. Because if you don't do kind of keyword research up front, and if you aren't sure that whatever you're writing for has any search demand around the world, people don't ask for these kind of questions in Google, you won't get any traffic from Google. This is kind of pure logic. But then, if you know that people are searching for something, you should kind of ask yourself, am I the best person to answer this question for people? Like, what makes me credible? What makes me the best person to explain it? And that's it. If both answers are positive, if what you're writing about does have a search demand, if people do search about this kind of topics in Google, and if you have some kind of experience, some like first-hand experience, some knowledge in that topic, if you can say something unique about it, and if you can actually help people with whatever they're searching for, and your answer, your help, your article would be better than what already ranks there, then you should actually have no problem to rank. I won't dig into like getting backlinks, but on the kind of general side of things, all you need is for people to search for it and for you to be able to answer it in a credible way where people would actually listen to you.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you. All right, so round two, we're going to play a game of Would You Rather. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather get a tattoo that your best friend picked out and you could not see it until it was done, or lose your left pinky finger?
Oh my God. Yeah, I would totally go for the tattoo. But did the rule specify the place where this tattoo should be?
No, it didn't. So the tattoo could be anywhere.
So this is safer, even knowing my friends who would like pick crazy tattoos, it is still safer than losing a pinky. I love my pinky. Why would I lose it?
All right. Well, that's always, you can always tell what, you know, what people think about their friends that way. So, would you rather only be able to wear orange clothing or always have your shoes be one size too small?
Oh, that's a hard pick. Well, I know that one size too small is too terrible. So I'll just go for the comfort, and I'll be known as orange guy in the industry. So yeah, I would rather be known as orange guy in the industry than guy who's always who always has unhappy face because his shoe size is one size too small.
Sure, and that's not a very.
But actually, when you come home in the evening and you put those shoes away, I think you feel super happy. So like once in a day, I would feel like the happiest person in the world. But still orange clothes.
Orange clothes, okay. Would you rather be a full-time people manager or a security guard on the night shift with no access to the internet?
Okay, what's wrong with being full-time people manager?
I watched another podcast that you did where you said that you thought being a people manager was the most boring job ever. So that's why I said that.
Ah, okay. So you did a lot of homework there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like managing people is a bit boring, of course. I like to do some kind of my own work. I like to create things where I can put kind of my name on it, where I see that something is coming to life because kind of I did it. Mm-hmm. And not just helping people do their own stuff. But actually, you should do both if you kind of want to grow and want to have a team. But still being a security guard, that's interesting. Being a security guard with no access to internet is like super depressing.
All right, fair enough. Would you rather be a giant rodent or a tiny elephant?
I don't like rodents, actually. So I would be a tiny elephant. I'm sure like I would be cute and like, kids would love me a lot, I'm sure. I don't think anyone would love me if I would be a giant rodent. Mm. So I'd go for a small elephant.
Yeah, definitely. That's the right answer there. Would you rather make headlines for saving somebody's life or for winning a Nobel Prize?
Oh, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. I think winning a Nobel Prize is a bigger challenge. Mm-hmm. So I think the question comes down if you have to actually pick right now between saving someone's life because someone is in trouble, mm-hmm. Or winning a Nobel Prize. So if you have to pick between the two, I would go for saving life because I think life is more important than anything else. But then if kind of in general in life, what would you rather do? Like if you had to pick between saving life, if you would save life or if you won't, someone else would save that life, I would go for Nobel Prize. So I'd love to win a Nobel Prize if someone could do the saving life job for me. But otherwise, I think life is more important.
Okay. Would you rather eat breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast?
Breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast? Mm-hmm. I think... dinner for breakfast. I think dinner for breakfast. I eat a lot in the morning, mm-hmm. So eating dinner for breakfast is not a problem for me. And actually, I'd say even it's sometimes a preference for me.
Okay.
So not even a question.
Would you rather spend 2 weeks stuck in a psychiatric hospital or stuck in an airport?
I think airport. So lastly, I've been traveling a bit. And I know there are some quite comfortable airports, mm-hmm. especially if you're stuck in Singapore's Changi Airport, which is one of the best ones in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely far more pleasant experience than being stuck in a psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. But if I were a YouTube blogger, I think I'd shoot better videos from psychiatric hospital for sure.
All right.
I'd get more subscribers and all that
of
stuff.
Of course, yeah. Maybe a little more fun, maybe that way. And I saw that you had tweeted something about the Stanford prison experiment. Are you interested in psychological experiments in general, or is there something about that one that you had an interest in? Or
no, it's somehow I try to read business and marketing mm-hmm. books to kind of excel in my profession. And somehow marketing is very connected to psychology. Mm-hmm. So if you want to understand like what drives people, how to sell them, how to persuade them, you need to know about their psychology. And so authors usually use a lot of references to these kind of experiments.
All right, cool. Yeah, I know that there's been a ton of stuff done in that particular area. So it's got to make at least some interesting reads, you know, finding out some stuff that was obviously, you know, meant for one thing, but able to be applied to another. And I see that keyword research also comes up quite a bit in your background. What brought you to this area?
Keyword research, yeah, it's like blogging brought me to this area because I figured out that unless I write about things that people are actually searching for, I won't get a lot of traffic. And keyword research is basically about learning what kind of search queries get a lot of searches per month in every particular country. At Ahrefs, when I joined Ahrefs 3 years ago, our keyword research tool wasn't quite good at the time. So we still had a big database, but the amount of data that we were showing or the features and filters that we had, it was lacking. So I had to help the team to make it a great tool. And then once we invested a lot of effort into this tool, I had to promote it. And the best way to promote this kind of tool is to teach people how to use it. Because I don't believe that those aha moments where users get like kind of start liking your software happen after they sign up. So it's not that you sign up for Ahrefs and then start figuring out what kind of tools we have and how to use them. I think that aha moments, they happen before you even sign up. So you go somewhere, read an article, you figure out how our tool works, why it's valuable, why it has better data than competitors. And then knowing all that information, knowing what you want to get from this tool, you sign up for Ahrefs and start using it. So this is why we're very focused on creating educational materials where we would educate our customer base in the first place. And then some of our customers will write their own articles. They will tell their friends about how the tool works. And this is how we get new customers. So once we did a huge facelift, once we improved that keyword research tool, I had to write a lot of articles about keyword research, keyword difficulty, why it's important, how to use it, how it works. And this is why I think you're now associating keyword research with myself.
And so how did you end up at Ahrefs? So how does a Ukrainian guy end up in Singapore?
Yeah, this is because the founder is also a Ukrainian guy, and he needed a head of marketing who he could speak to in Russian, because like we are the kind of Ukrainians that speak Russian from this part of Ukraine.
Okay.
But still, that head of marketing would speak Russian, but would be able to create marketing, to run marketing for US markets and basically English speaking markets. Mm-hmm. So this is how I ended up. It's not that many people in the world who would speak Russian but do marketing for United States and who would have some kind of background in blogging, who would have like published work. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I think one of the triggers for my boss is that when he first found me online, I was bragging that I wrote a guest post for Moz that in 2010 it won. They had four annual categories, like the best article of 2010 by the amount of thumbs up, the best article by the amount of tweets, Facebook likes, or the best in the amount of comments. And I wrote an article that in 2010 it won three awards out of four. Mm. And I think this was kind of validation for me that I'm worth hiring. And this is how it all happened. And at the same time, I was doing some marketing for myself. I was selling some WordPress plugins, running my personal blog. And I, among other kind of companies, I reached out to Ahrefs for some help in like promoting those plugins, to get a blog for them, to get featured on their social channels and blah, blah, blah. And he basically reached out to me with a counter offer to work for them a little bit, which ended up as me moving to Singapore.
All right, and how long have you been there now?
3 years. So in July it was exactly 3 years. But before that, I worked kind of as a freelancer or contractor for maybe 2 or 3 months. Well, actually, he hired me after I think 3 weeks of working together. But it took me some time to like fill all the documents, apply for visa, get approval, pack my bags and fly to Singapore.
Okay. What's been the biggest adjustment, let's say, just, well, you know, not work-wise, but moving from Ukraine to Singapore? What have been some of the challenges for you?
Some of the challenges? I don't know. Like, the biggest challenge was to get used to those huge prices. Singapore compared to Ukraine. So, like, I was in the first month because I it's even challenging to explain. So I wasn't prepared for kind of this kind of salary, but I wasn't also prepared for this kind of prices. So at first it seemed to me that I'm getting a huge salary while moving from Ukraine to Singapore. It was like, I think, four times bigger than what I was earning at the time. But then the prices were also like four or five times bigger. So when I came to Singapore, like I had this dilemma, if I'm making enough. So I thought that I was making a lot, but then I started questioning this. So yeah, it was quite a challenge to get used to this kind of new lifestyle in a country of first world with prices, with big prices.
That sticker shock, I think. Yeah,
for example the car is still not very affordable here, because like compared to Ukraine, I think you're overpaying 5 or 6 times, and here in Singapore they only give you car for 10 years. So if you buy a new car, you can only own it for 10 years and then you have to scrap it or somehow get rid of it. So basically they created annual service out of cars. So you're paying a fixed sum to own this car. And then by the end of 2 years, once you have paid the full sum, you have to get rid of the car. This is something I still cannot live with. It's hard to realize that you have to get rid of something that you've paid so much money for.
Sure, that would be a difficult adjustment. It sounds crazy, but I'm sure. Is there a reason for that? Is it just to create more money, or is it some kind of environmental thing? Or what's the point behind that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's environmental thing, because Singapore is pretty small. I think it's in size, it's pretty much like the capital of Ukraine, like one city in Ukraine, the entire Singapore.
Yeah.
And people, the economy is pretty strong. So there are a lot of rich people. I think I read an article that every 10th person in Singapore is a millionaire. So you can tell how many cars these people can afford here. And even if you're not a millionaire, you're still making like enough money to afford a car, or maybe two, or maybe three, compared to how old you depends on how old your kids are. And then, like, if everyone who can afford a car here by kind of global market prices would get themselves a car, Singapore would be stuck in one big like everyone just would stop, and you won't be able to drive your car around Singapore. So I think this is why they're artificially raising. They have this thing called certificate of entitlement. So basically you pay the price for the car, which is already inflated, and then you pay for this certificate of owning a car for 2 years, and it's like $40,000 right now or something like this. Yeah, it's crazy.
That sounds crazy, yeah. And I'm sure that had to be a bit of an adjustment, moving from the biggest country in Europe to one of the smallest 20 countries in the world, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, still, Singapore is a great place to live. It's very clean. It's very safe. So I cannot say I'm regretting anything. But yeah, there were quite a few things to realize, to change my mindset. Not that it was like super challenging, but it was like interesting to move from a European country to Asian country, and this kind of Asian country, because Singapore is not like the rest of the Asia.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the our final round here, the Elevate Lightning Round. So here we have two choices. We don't have to, we can go right into the next one. If you'd like to say a little bit more about it, you can. But if not, we're going to go just straight on. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. Apples or bananas?
Apples.
Ninjas or pirates?
Ninjas, of course.
Okay. Singapore Botanic Gardens or Gardens by the Bay?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd say Gardens by the Bay.
Who had the worst marketing or worst marketing campaign? LifeLock CEO posting his social security number, daring the world to steal his identity, or Airbnb's passive-aggressive advertising campaign around San Francisco suggesting what the city should do with the tax money?
I think the latter is worse. Like, attacking a city is not is much worse than like sharing some personal data.
Red borscht or white borscht?
Red one.
The Lion King or Aladdin?
We just visited Lion King musical here in Singapore, so I have to say Lion King. But actually, one other interesting thing is that just today, because after coming from Lion King musical, I was watching those. I was listening to that music on YouTube, and I searched in YouTube for Lion King, like this song, Lion King, that song, and it actually suggested me today. Today in the morning, it suggested me that Lion King is actually a stolen. It is stolen from Japan. So in Japan, they had some kind of Kimba Lion, not Simba, but Kimba, and they had this cartoon, this story. And Disney kind of have stolen it from Japan, but they marketed it as like entirely unique. So whenever they were confronted with the like almost identical similarity of both cartoons, they said no, like they denied everything. So it was pretty fun that a big corporation, they started from making cartoons out of kind of folklore, out of fairy tales. And then Lion King was their first cartoon that they said was like entirely unique, created within Disney, not using anyone else. And then actually it was stolen. So it's kind of disappointing, and it tells a lot about all those big companies that kind of dominate the world today.
Sure. Okay. Wakeboarding or kiteboarding?
This is also a tough one. I'd say wakeboarding, because kiteboarding, like, it has a lot of independence to it. It depends where you should go. It depends if there will be wind there, what kind of kite you need, the size. So, and wakeboarding is a lot easier. You just need a wake park or maybe a boat, and you're done.
Okay. Socks that don't match or a tie that doesn't match the outfit?
Socks. It's harder to see them.
Okay. Now this goes back to some psychology experiments here. The marshmallow test or the Stanley Milgram experiment?
I don't remember the marshmallow test.
That was one with kids where they put a kid in a room with a marshmallow.
And they said, like, if I return, I will give you two more, but if you eat this one, you won't get.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the marshmallow test. Yeah.
All right. Now, I have a good friend here in town who's Ukrainian. So I asked him for the final question to get to, you know, something that would be difficult specifically for a Ukrainian to answer. So this was his question that he helped me come up with. Okay.
Okay.
So this is our final one for the Elephate Lightning Round. Would you rather, or sorry, here, you either have to smile at a stranger in public or you can only say okay to your mom on the phone five times or less?
Yeah, this is, I can feel that Ukrainian was asking it. Yeah, well, to be honest, like, smiling on the street to a stranger is super creepy in our country. So I'd rather say okay to my mom.
All right, great. So I'll let him know that was a good question. So I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah.
All right. So that comes to the end of our program here. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners?
Not really. Like, it was awesome. You asked some pretty fun and challenging questions.
Oh, well, thanks.
So hope everyone enjoyed it.
So do we. Do you have anything that you would like to promote before we finish?
Well, probably this company that I work for. It's called Ahrefs. They have some great tools and a nice head of marketing. So probably people should check them out. Apart from that, maybe that company, you know, that I work for, it is called Ahrefs. They have great head of marketing. apart from that, I can go on, actually. So
I think that's great. So hopefully people will check it out. We'll be sure to include a link in our details. So Tim, thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Derek.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview, produced by Christian A. Dumais. Music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at Elephate SEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.